All right, and welcome everyone. Sorry about that Skype going off, but I believe that's Janice right there. So welcome, Janice. You can listen in.
Thank you. This is
Unraveling the Secrets. I am Stephen Roberts, and this is I have Suzanne Pelzel with me, and we have a very special guest with us. We have former. Correct me if I'm wrong, but you're originally from the Carolinas.
Georgia.
Okay, I'm sorry. Yes, former Georgia Congresswoman Cynthia McKinney. Welcome to the show, Cynthia.
Thank you so much for finding me
Yes. And
inviting me to come on board.
Thank you. Welcome also, Suzanne.
I'm happy to be here. Thank you.
I'm ecstatic to be here because I'm one of her biggest fans also, as you happened to mention to her just a few minutes ago. A lot of people here in America are big fans of you since you lost your last run in Georgia for Congress. You've been on the trail of fighting corruption.
I've been on the trail of the bad guys.
Trail of the bad guys, yes. excuse me. I am fighting something that my doctors are trying to find out. I've got a cough here for about the last 4 months that they can't find. But Cynthia, tell everybody where you are and tell everybody what you're doing. You're not in the States right now.
I'm not in the States. I'm in Asia. I'm in Dhaka, Bangladesh. And I'll be here for a few more months and possibly longer. I'm working on my PhD. My PhD institution is Antioch University. And the PhD will be in leadership and change, something that we desperately need in the United States. And my belief is once we get the right kind of leadership in the United States in positions of authority, then we can have the right kind of change that we all so desperately want and that our country so desperately needs. But once we take care of our business in the United States, then it will be easier for other countries to take care of their business, because one of the prime objectives of leadership and the change that we need today is that the United States needs to take care of the business of the United States, of the people of the United States. There's a reason that the U.S. and U.S. corporations are going abroad and sending jobs abroad. And that's because other countries invested in the education of their people. I'm talking primarily about India now, that invested in the education of its people. And it had the kind of government, this is back during the day, where Indians were educated. And today, the country of India creates or graduates more scientists than any place else. So now that doesn't mean that we don't have the capability. It's just that we have allowed corporations, instead of focusing on the educational needs right in the United States, we've allowed them to actually get a reward and subsidize them going out and taking the brain power from other countries. It's wrong on both counts. And we have people who languish in poverty, languish in unemployment right in our own country. And it's wrong. We have a whole set of regulations and laws that are misguided. Dr. King said guided missiles and misguided men. Well, we've got a lot of them and a few misguided women now who are seeking and are in leadership positions in the United States, and the people have to wake up and change them.
Yes, they do. Go ahead and start us off, Suzanne, if you'd like.
Absolutely. Cynthia, I've been writing a lot of articles about Common Core, and it's the main reason why I homeschool my children. How do you think that Common Core is deserving different sects of our country, sort of maybe pushing them into certain job descriptions later on in life where they would kind of have no choice educationally but to choose a lower paying job or a job where there's no real hope of advancement?
Well, you know, I'll have to be honest with you. My only child is, well, he just had his 29th birthday. And so thank goodness I got him through college, and now I'm putting myself back through. He finished with his JD. But I have not studied the Common Core. So if you sort of tell me what Common Core is, then I'll be able to comment a little bit more particularly. But I can tell you that I support homeschooling.
Well, Common Core has been a set of rules and regulations set up by governors and educators that they're saying is a standard, and that it could be voluntary. However, the U.S. government has been monetarily pushing school board districts to accept Common Core, or they don't get any fiscal funding. So what Common Core has been doing is molding our children to accept more technology in lieu of critical thinking skills and education. Let the computer do it. All you need to do is learn how to extract the information from the computer. So tablets and laptops and computers are available for students. In Marysville, Washington, there is the school board has decided that they're going to use iPads, and that 3 days out of the week they will have classes online. However, some of the students can't afford a internet connection at home. And so this does a disservice. These students are being literally separated from the curriculum that isn't about critical thinking or education and more about skill learning and aptitude. But even at that dumbing down of the education system, there's still a further division of students who at home don't have access to internet, who cannot fulfill all of their class requirements because they can't use these tablets properly. And I see this as a way of making sure that the people in our society who can't afford what is now considered luxuries and just basic internet service, which you would think, why would that be a luxury nowadays? It's a necessity for life. And yet kind of pushing them into this box where they have no way to get out of and no way to use education to get themselves out of it, because they are cut off from all of the learning that they have access to.
Well, basically, it sounds like what you're describing is the internet access gap. And I don't understand why something that was created by government has been farmed out to Comcast and AT&T and all these other corporations, and they make huge amounts of money and provide very little service. Demonstrations have been made where municipalities that control the utilities, and you're right that internet should be treated like a utility because it's necessary now. They bring the price down. That doesn't mean that AT&T and Comcast go out of business, but it means that they get more competition, which is what capitalism is supposed to be about, or at least the U.S. brand of it anyway. And that's one way that you would eliminate or certainly seriously degrade the access to the internet gap. But Common Core has to be about more than just access to the internet. You know, it's sort of like No Child Left Behind. And I have to admit that I relied on, this is one of the times that I relied on Democratic Party, and I'll not do that again. I'm going to rely in the future on my common sense. But the Democratic leadership deferred to, they all got in a room and decided what was going to happen. And then they told the rest of us to come along. And that was to support No Child Left Behind, which I did. And then only afterwards found out all of the shortcomings. And the states then worked feverishly to get my home state of Georgia, exempted from the provisions, and then, you know, down to certain school districts. But the United States is not performing in education. Now, if the United States government can provide missiles that kill people accurately, you would think that they ought to be able to devise a way, respecting the various levels of authority, to educate our children and provide them the means by which they can perform critical analysis of anything that's presented to them.
It is unfortunate because the common core that we see today is the next generation of No Child Left Behind. And like I said before, it's the reason why I homeschool my child. I realized that my son was not going to get any critical thinking skills at all. My son is 8 years old, and for the last year, he's been learning on a third to fourth grade level, because at his age, he's a sponge, and there is no, this is too complicated for him to understand. Properly explained, he understands complex cosmological theories. He understands, his favorite is science and engineering. And my son is learning to use AutoCAD right now. And he's doing very well, building virtual buildings and virtual structures. And he just turned 8 years old. So my son's potential is wasted in school. Giving you an example, I don't know if you heard recently in the news, in Colorado, students protested a change to US AP history that in the name of getting rid of dissenters and civil disobedience, the curriculum omitted people like Benjamin Franklin, two more of our founding fathers, people who signed the Constitution, Martin Luther King, Malcolm X, any of the leaders in our history who have led movements that have, thankfully led to some incredible change in our American story, but they don't want to facilitate any more, possibility of civil disobedience or civil dissent. And just like really good teenagers, when you tell them not to do something, they go ahead and they do it. So they organized within, 20 different schools in 5 different districts to protest and come out of the classrooms anywhere between 8:30 a.m. to 10:30 a.m. And it was amazing to see. And these children did this protest for several days, every single day. It was only on the third day that the mainstream media picked this story up and started discussing it. I guess because they realized the students weren't going to give up. They didn't want their curriculum changed just because we don't want to have dissenters in our society any longer.
Well, you know, what ought to be added to the curriculum is what the United States government did to people who dissented. And we have a record of that. We have evidence of that with the counterintelligence program and the reports that were generated by the Senate in, Select Committee on Intelligence, the work that was done by Senator Frank Church. So dissent is more precious, should be treated more preciously by our society than assent, because it is those people who say, well, hey, wait, are we sure this is the road that we want to take? They are, one, acting out of a sense of patriotism, and their point of view should be taken into account so that when a decision is made, that it can be strongly supported by the entirety of the society, because every point of view has been discussed and considered in the lead up to the decision making. I'm looking here at a website that is describing what is a common core. And it says that it is a set of clear college and career ready standards for kindergarten through 12th grade in English language, arts, literacy, and mathematics. That's interesting. I don't see science in here. And then it says that its purpose is to ensure that students graduating from high school are prepared to take credit bearing introductory courses in 2 or 4 year college programs or enter the workforce. Well, that's what our sort of minimum standards of the educational system should be now, but there are people who are graduating and they don't know how to read. And the society, not the society, certain individuals prey on those individuals and on that structural imbalance by privatizing prisons and projecting that if you can't read by the fourth grade, then you're going to end up in prison. And then the prisons are privatized, so there is an incentive to not teach those kids because there's going to be a profit in the end. Remember the judge in Pennsylvania who was getting kickbacks by putting kids in who had problems, legal problems and disciplinary problems often lead to legal problems instead of disciplinary solutions. And the judge was getting a kickback by sending the kid to a certain private juvenile institutions. So when you have a corrupted system, everything gets touched and corrupted. It's like the rotten apple in the barrel making all of the other apples that are in the barrel rotten too. Yeah. So we have so much that we have allowed to go wrong and get corrupted in our system that we really need the kind of leadership that will get in there. And it needs to be authorized by the people, supported by the people, legitimized by the people, and really, really supported so that they have the authority to go in there and root out all of the corruption.
Congresswoman McKinney, what do you think? What do you think a solution to this, the Common Core, or the and also the previous No Child Left Behind? What do you think a solution is to these problems?
Well, I think first and foremost that the teachers really are the ones who are in the best. You have teachers and you have psychologists who study behavior and they study learning. So you have the scientific community and you have the practitioners. Between the scientific community and the practitioners, there ought to be a coming together. And at that coming together, there ought to be a set of recommendations made on the future of education in the United States. Then you bring in the additional stakeholders. And unfortunately, the parents are left out. Corporations are opted in all of the time because I've seen that happen time and time again in my home state where the Chamber of Commerce has more say than the parents. And so you would have parents involved, you would have the chamber involved, and because these are future employers. And so you would have all of the stakeholders involved. And this is something that is possible to be done. It is not something that can't happen, but it won't happen without the right kind of leadership.
I would like to change the topic just a little bit and go to Liberia. Just recently, six military planes carried 4,000 combat-ready troops to Liberia, and their job is to work with military engineers and planners to set up makeshift mission areas where they can build buildings and teach people how to deal with Ebola. They have an Ebola training academy that the UK has sent 750 soldiers to construct, as well as treatment centers. What do you see happening over there in Liberia with Ebola? What do you think is the most important thing that we should be focusing on when it comes to this issue?
Well, those troops that went over there, are they from the 101st Airborne? I mean, you know, I don't think they have a track record in medical supply and medical practicing. So I think that was the absolute wrong decision on our president to send U.S. troops over there. to do work. I think the U.S. troops are over there, perhaps to do something else, but a health issue does not require a militarized response. When I get sick, I don't want to see a soldier with a gun. Remember, this is the same response that the failed response that the United States provided after Hurricane Katrina. Instead of helping the people, the Bush administration sent soldiers in with guns. And that only exacerbated the problem. Of course, you're in addition to that, having mercenaries roaming on the streets and shooing people off the streets in New Orleans. Blackwater was sent, invited to go there by Michael Chertoff. So we had a similar thing happen after the earthquake in Haiti, where predator drones were sent in. Rather than the billions of dollars that people donated have not been expended on behalf of the Haitian people. So here we have a similar situation of an emergency and a militarized response. That's all it seems that the United States is prepared to do. And that the entire response to the Ebola crisis causes one to ask more questions than are answered.
I agree. I noticed in the news that the head of ExxonMobil, Rex Tillerson, was speaking in Houston, about 20 minutes from Dallas, where the gentleman who was diagnosed with Ebola came in through the airport. However, at this meeting, Rex Tillerson was speaking about the delay for their exploratory measures to get natural gas and petrol off of the coast of Liberia. Their concerns were related to the delays to this mission related to the Ebola outbreak. However, ExxonMobil described the Ebola outbreak as a fairly low-level threat, even though they are in Liberia, which is the hardest-hit area. That concerns me. What do you think is going on, especially since we were just talking about the 4,000 troops that just landed over there?
Well, you know, the response doesn't make any sense. And so you have to, because the response doesn't make any sense, you use your power of critical thinking and you say, okay, this doesn't make sense. The Cubans send doctors and the United States send soldiers. What else is going on? And of course, we understand the natural resources that are in that area and the offshore resources that are in that area and the scramble for those resources that has been going on for really nonstop since the Berlin conference. So you just have to wonder, the response, the U.S. response doesn't make sense. If you're looking at medical responses and medical needs, therefore you have to explore other options for explanation. And that's what I would do. You know, my mother was she's retired now, but she was an emergency nurse. And her first reaction was, this is not normal. Her first reaction when they brought the two healthcare professionals from the area and brought them to the United States, and now I think it's up to three that they brought in, her response was that this is not normal. And so she's been questioning ever since, just sort of as an informed person with emergency critical care background, you know, what's going on. I'm a lay person and I certainly don't know what's going on, and we don't know what the truth is. We won't know the truth unless somebody goes over there or unless we have whistleblowers. There's been one whistleblower, and that's a professor at Delaware State, I believe, who just came out. I believe he's a Liberian, is of Liberian descent. And he just came out and said that this was more a Pentagon operation. Well, that it would explain the Pentagon response. And that the United States government had been over there for a very long time testing various drugs on people. Well, we know that that is not an unusual, circumstance. Heck, they did that here in the United States with the Tuskegee experiment, and they did it in Guatemala. So why wouldn't they go to Africa and do it as well?
Absolutely. There are so many questions. And like you were saying, when you look at the response to the problem and it doesn't fit, and you look at what ExxonMobil is doing in that area, and ExxonMobil is saying that there's 100 years worth of natural gas if the United States were the only country to use it. And I thought it was interesting that Rex Tillerson used the United States in conjunction with speaking about extracting Liberian resources.
Right. That's very important. And of course, obviously, you've done far more research on this than I have, and therefore, you're aware of these other circumstances. These other circumstances do, in fact, help to explain why the U.S. provided a militarized response as contrasted with the Cubans who sent in doctors.
Absolutely. Absolutely. And there are further comments I wanted to get your take on. Hillary Clinton was speaking at the Economic Club this week, talking about ISIS. Her quote is, "It's a serious threat because this is the best funded, most professional, expansionist, jihadist military force we have ever seen. This is far more advanced and far richer than Al-Qaeda ever was." Knowing what we know about her knowledge of how Al-Qaeda was formed, there are several videos of her speaking to senators about how we created Al-Qaeda. What do you think she's actually talking about, or what are your comments about her saying that ISIS is now the most advanced, far richer, most professional jihadist group we've ever seen?
Well, clearly she knows what she's talking about, and there's a reason for that as well. She knows about it because the United States helped create it. And when you create, finance, weaponize it, this has been the modus operandi for the United States for a very long time. And it happened on the African continent. Oh, my gosh. I mean, you know, they would create a rebel group, arm that rebel group, then provide the mechanism and the military support so that rebel group can threaten the capital city of a president that, you know, decided that he was going to represent his country and the people in his country rather than the interests of the United States. And this is how such a president was treated. This happened over and over again. Happened to Laurent Kabila in Congo. It happened in Sierra Leone to that democratically elected president with the creation of the Fode Sanko and the Revolutionary United Front. It happened in Cote d'Ivoire and Ivory Coast with the creation of a rebel group to threaten the presidency, the democratically elected presidency of Laurent Gbagbo. It happened when the United States provided tens of millions of dollars every year to Jonas Savimbi. Continues to happen when the United States provides monetary support and legitimizing behavior toward the genocidal government in Rwanda and the government in Uganda.
It also happened in Iraq in 1959. the CIA funded Saddam Hussein and his ragtag group, and they overthrew Mossadegh there.
That's right. Mossadegh was in Iraq, in Iran,
right,
and
yes.
Saddam Hussein was in Iraq. But yes, you're absolutely right. This is a there's a researcher, a scholar, who did research on the pattern of repression of the FBI under COINTELPRO. And he found that the FBI found certain repressive acts to always work, so they always use them. And that's the way the United States government is. They found that creating these rebel groups, arming them, providing military logistics so that, you know, it's really U.S. Special forces along with some mercenaries that are really doing the hard work, and these guys just walk in and proclaim victory. But that this is a tactic that works, and they've tried it all over Africa and it worked, and so they've exported that now to other parts of the world. That is what we're seeing, and that is what ISIS is.
It's been coined problem, reaction, solution, Cynthia. They fund and create a problem in these terrorist groups, and these terrorist groups attack their own country's parliaments or their governments. And the solution is for the U.S. troops to come in and take these terrorists out.
Yeah, after the U.S. has created them.
Exactly. Yes.
Yeah, you know, or what happened on the African continent was that the U.S. troops didn't come in, but that either those governments that were problematic either got ousted or they shaped up and bent over. I'm going to have to get something to drink.
Oh, certainly. Do you want to take a short break here? Oh, well, I guess we can talk for a few seconds there, Suzanne.
Absolutely.
Go ahead.
I think that when you look at what the International Republican Institute is doing, the IRI.org, if you're curious, go to their website. John McCain is on their board of directors, which is not a coinkydink, since he likes to take pictures with the heads of all of these
terrorist groups. Yeah.
Yeah, these, you know, the Free Syrian Army and ISIS and all sorts of people. This is what the United States government has decided is foreign policy, to create a fake revolution in a country, to topple a government, to put in a patsy. And like what we saw in Egypt, sometimes the patsies only work out for a year. Mohamed Morsi has been taken out, or sometimes the relationship lasts a little bit longer, like what we were talking about Saddam Hussein. In that instance, he got to sit in that seat a little bit longer, but it seems that this is foreign policy for our government to make sure that they have control over. Eventually, it comes down to resources and allocation for corporations to go in and extract and sell on global markets.
Are you back with us now, Cynthia?
Yes, I am.
Okay. I had to get me some water also. I've been talking here quite a bit today, and my voice shows it sometimes.
Yes.
I've asked Suzanne before, and I've asked other guests, with the track record of the White House, and it goes way, way back, back into the 30s and 40s, they've been doing these types of things. Communist Mao was funded and started by U.S. interests. A lot of people don't know that. But I wonder how many of these countries are, how long it's going to take them to get wise and to stay away from American interests and the American government.
Well, that's a good question. And you would hope that they would learn. I hope that, they do learn.
It seems that not only in countries, but also the advent of nanny state here in the United States. We can look at Seattle. Just recently, the city of Seattle passed an ordinance stating that if they found 10% of your garbage was food, you know, leftover food that you throw away that could be used for compost, that they would start fining you. And so they are allowing the garbage collectors to go through your garbage and check to see how much you have and how much so they know how much to charge you when they go ahead and fine you. And you had mentioned to us before the show that you were going to be doing something in the state of Washington. Can you explain that to us?
Oh, well, I'll just be defending my dissertation, hopefully. And the school, Antioch University, has a campus right in Seattle. And hopefully I'll defend my dissertation in Seattle. That's what I hope to take place. And if so, that's going to be a fantastic celebration for me.
Yeah. Suzanne, it seems we have to let Cynthia go here. So I guess maybe we should ask you what you're going to be coming up, what you're going to be doing before the Washington dissertation. And do you have anything?
No, I just got my comments back from my professor. This is midnight there, but I just got my comments back today. And so I'm going to work feverishly over the next week to try and get everything perfected so that I can turn it back in. I'll be doing schoolwork. And I just need you guys to wish me some luck. But come January in Seattle, I want you to look out for me. In the meantime, we can stay in touch with each other on Facebook. My Facebook page is Cynthia McKinney Official.
Well, that's good. Do you have any other websites or anything like that you'd like to plug?
Nope, just let's stay in touch on Facebook.
And that's how I got in touch with her, Suzanne. I would have thought that she would have had an assistant that would have been running her social media, but she doesn't. She does it herself.
I do.
Well.
Okay.
Well, we sure do appreciate you coming on for the time that you said you were going to come on. That was just 45 minutes.
Okay. Well, thank you so much.
Have a good
day.
Thank
you so much, Cynthia.
Yes.
Thank you. Bye-bye.
Bye.